Everything was brightly colorful and perfect. Johnny could hear the sound of a neighbor mowing their lawn, and birds were chirping. A wonderful summer day, except for the sounds of some mice caught in a glue trap. They were busy tearing their own skins off, trying to escape. Their agonized squeaking sounded like someone whistling a happy melody. Johnny whistled along to the tune of the mice's screams with a smile on his face. This morning he was feeling quite cheerful. He had just started working as a paperboy today. He began packing his little red wagon full of newspapers and walking down the sidewalk in the direction of his daily route. Johnny was organizing his newspapers when he heard music approaching from behind. It was the mechanical music of an ice cream truck. The truck slowed down and parked next to him. He saw a man inside grinning at him. He rolled down the window and spoke to Johnny.
"Excuse me, have you seen my dog? His name is Mr. Noodles, and he's so tiny. He is lost, and I need to find him. He must be so frightened and alone. Can you help me find him, please?" "I don't think so, mister. I'm working right now delivering my newspapers." "Oh, please, I'll give you a popsicle. Or maybe you'd like an orange dreamsicle bar, hmm?"
Johnny loved the orange dreamsicle. Those were always his favorite. He figured there was no harm in helping the poor man locate his small puppy. So he climbed into the passenger seat of the ice cream truck, and they drove off. Johnny stared out the window and could see the colorful grass, flowers, trees. All of it began fading to a lack of color. Dismal grays and faded greens. Ugly browns and bacteria yellow. An absence of life.
"Where are we going, mister?" "Oh, poor Mr. Noodles. We're going to look for him. He must be around here somewhere. Thanks for helping me look for him. Hey, do you like music? I'm not just a popsicle man. I also make music. Popsicle music."
"What's popsicle music?"
"Oh, it's a special kind of music that makes people happy. Here, I'll play some for you. Listen."
"He's so tiny. He must be terrified. He likes Doritos. Oh, poor Mr. Noodles.
Come on.
He's so tiny. He must be terrified. He's not Mr. Noodles." "He likes Doritos. Oh, poor Mr. Noodles. He's so tiny. Not Mr. Noodles. He likes Doritos.
Ready?
He must be terrified. Not Mr. Noodles. He likes Doritos. Oh, poor Mr. Noodles. He must be terrified. Not Mr. Noodles. He must be terrified. Ready? He likes it. He likes Doritos. He's so tiny. He must be terrified.
That was weird, mister. I don't think I like popsicle music.
Yes, you do. All kids love popsicle music. Here, have another Jolly Rancher. Let's go down this alley. Maybe Mr. Noodles wandered off and got lost down there. Oh, I hope not. Poor Mr. Noodles. He'll be terrified. We have to save him.
It smells around here, mister. It smells like things that went bad. Why are there so many milk cartons everywhere?
This is the alley of milk carton faces. That is the smell of their lacrimation. Don't you see the faces?
I don't see any faces, mister.
You will. Just wait. They're around. There's one. Shh. Look carefully. Do you see it watching us?
Mister, can we leave? This place has gone bad. Everything is coated with a layer of rot. Mr. Noodles wouldn't come here.
How do you know where Mr. Noodles would go? Be quiet. Look, it sees you.
Shh. What sees me?
The milk carton faces.
It was then that Johnny did see the faces on the milk cartons, and they were indeed staring at him.
Johnny, pick up a milk carton and hold it. What do you feel?
Johnny held the milk carton in his hand, and just then, he felt his palm being licked by a tiny wet tongue. It tickled and it fluttered. He reacted with revulsion. He was so disgusted that he dropped the milk carton on the road. When it came to a halt, the face of an abducted child was staring at him.
Please, mister, we have to leave. This place has gone bad. There's nothing here for us to find.
Yes, there is. There's lots of things for us to find. I have a fun idea. How about you get out and close your eyes and run around haphazardly? I'll drive away and leave you here as a lookout for Mr. Noodles.
No, mister. That's not a fun idea. Please, can we leave?
Okay, you're no fun. Here, have a strawberry shortcake ice cream. How are we ever going to find Mr. Noodles? He's so tiny, and I know he's afraid. One of Mr. Noodles' favorite things to do was to sit in a box and be completely silent. He would not move at all, not even a hair. He would just sit there like a statue and have so much fun. When you sit in the box of statues, you have everything. Would you like to sit in the box of statues? Oh, it's so much fun.
No, thank you, mister. I just want to go home now.
Mr. Noodles is not interested in your perceptions. He is not interested in learning anything from you or knowing anything from you. Everything that is necessary is already there within the box of statues. When you look into the eyes of Mr. Noodles, all you will see is an ocean of shifting micro-expressions. All his faces moving in conjunction, expressing and re-expressing, interpreting and reinterpreting. Mixtures of feelings all coalescing. He will cast spells and you won't realize it until later. You'll just think about Mr. Noodles and wonder if he was a witch. Was he? A little tiny one? Tiny baby. but a powerful one if he was ever able to overcome your powers. And when you look down into Mr. Noodle's eyes, you'll see everything. And you'll see nothing. All the what-ifs, and canceled timelines, and obliterated futures. To all the decimated, to all the eradicated, to the place where only this decaying moment no longer exists. And then there's nothing left at all. Nothing except the glare of Mr. Noodle's glistering so brightly. This is when the nothing becomes everything again. And then the nothing becomes nothing again. This is the lesson of the box of statues, where every direction leads to the same place. And this is how we will find Mr. Noodles, because he's right here. He is right here. Only in another place. Did you say something?
No, mister.
Mr. Noodles wants to study you and memorize everything inside of you, with deep penetration ablaze until all of you is known. All of you will never be forgotten. Never ever and not ever. He will never forget you, and you will never forget you, because no one ever could, for it's his benediction. So I ask you, why? Why won't you look into his eyes? Why won't you look into the eyes of Mr. Noodles?
But we don't know where Mr. Noodles is. How are we going to look into his eyes?
Oh, yeah. Where is Mr. Noodles? He must be terrified. What if he got stuck in the Dorito bag and he's just laying there screaming? Here, have a drumstick. Let's drive some more. We'll listen to more popsicle music.
Really Zogs My Nog on LSD. Today I'm going BTK. Let's jog on over to Popeye's on LSD. Let's jog on over to Popeye's. Today I'm going BTK. 6 million is a lot of hamburgers on LSD. 6 million is 6 million is a 6 million is a lot of hamburgers. Today I'm going BTK.
Kids love popsicle music. Here, have a Wonder Woman cool tube. Let's look for Mr. Noodles behind the Walmart. He might have ended up there searching for a Dorito.
Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if he was behind the Walmart? Come on, let's go look.
Together they walk through the shadows of the Walmart parking lot. The ice cream jingle was fading with the sun into the darkness. Soon they found themselves deep in the heart of the shadows behind Walmart. It was so dark and cold here. He thought to himself, how would we find Mr. Noodles even if he was here?
Mr. Noodles, are you here?
I don't hear anything, mister. I don't think Mr. Noodles is here.
You don't know how to hear him. His voice is very tiny. It's so tiny. He could be screaming for help and most people would never be able to hear him at all. Sometimes Mr. Noodles likes to be in the moonlight where he can metamorphosize. He likes to throw himself around in the darkness and feel the madness of being outside with his body. Oh, Mr. Noodles was dancing his little legs off. Did you see him?
No. Where is he?
I don't know. Where is he? Mr. Noodles? Mr. Noodles likes to sit between my legs and stand up real tall and proud and beg to be stroked. And when that happens, he starts drooling and quoting from the Talmud. Look over there. What's that?
They both turned to look and saw something glowing in the corner. A black cube made of stone. Carved into it was a symbol. A sphere within a triangle and three chevrons. A soft glow surrounded the cube, which was now a sphere. Vapors that were black like sackcloth swarmed around the sphere as if it were a living thing. Living fabric made of soot. Folding inward upon itself over and over. Looking at it caused Johnny's eyes to fill with black light. He was compelled to approach the sphere. His feet stepped forward on their own. Even though he resisted, it made no difference. As he approached the sphere, it became a cube again. Johnny felt like he was walking backwards into a strobe light. Everything was flashing out of sequence. Sometimes one step would be forward, sometimes backwards. Doubling and tripling flashes causing absolute disorientation. He felt like each of his eyes were in different heads. The darkness inverted into a deeper darkness, with shades of black and green, then nothing. He felt as if he were sinking into the ground while simultaneously floating above himself.
Look over there. It's a half-eaten Dorito. Mr. Noodles was here. He was here.
I can't move, mister. I think I'm gonna pass out.
No, you're not. You just need a sour wiggler. Here, have two. One for each hemisphere. Hurry, we have to get back to the truck. Mr. Noodles can't be far. Get away from that thing. You're not supposed to know about it. You're not a philosopher. Come on, follow me.
As they got back inside the ice cream truck, the last remaining streak of red disappeared from the horizon. The symbols on the sphere were still imprinted on Johnny's retinas, and he saw them wherever he looked. He saw them on people, on buildings, on sidewalks, everywhere. It was as if the symbols were there all along and always had been.
Here, have another orange cream bar. I can see you're feeling weird. So, instead of popsicle music, I'm going to play you some creamsicle music. How about that? Yeah, that'll help make you feel better.
You're okay with pedophilia now. Jiffy pop penis. Jiffy pop penis. You're okay with pedophilia now. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid on LSD. Popsicle. You're okay with pedophilia now. You're okay with pedophilia now on LSD.
Come on!
You're okay with pedophilia now. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. alien Jiffy Pop penis. No, on LSD. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid.
Pretty good, hey? Okay, we have to check in at the studio for a few minutes. The deep freezes need replenishing, and you can meet my buddy. He helps make popsicle music. He is a producer of sorts. You'll like him. He's a cool dude. Hold on, he's gotta let us in.
What's the password?
Don't drop the soap.
What else?
Promethean Emerald Wizard.
Promethean? What the fuck is that? You're fucking stupid, you know that? Get it right for fuck's sake, or I'm going back to beating my meat. You can stand over there until you get enriched.
Okay, Promethean Emerald Tablet.
Where'd you get the kid? You better not be ringing up more debt on that credit card.
This is Johnny. He's helping me find Mr. Noodles. We came here to reload the truck, and I wanted Johnny to see how popsicle music is made.
Don't listen to him, kid. He's taking more acid in his life than that CIA project Woodstock. If he starts talking about that faggot dog, don't believe a word he says. It isn't him talking. It's the CIA. Popsicle music is fucking garbage. But it's what sells to the shitheads these days. Plus, it's been mandated by the government MAID program for use in the sarcopods. So it's what we gotta do. But listen to this, kid. I wrote this last night. This is the real shit.
A rich, white, anti-capitalist. I stand up for the natives when I don't give a shit. And I'll be in the bank when I pretend to be poor. The white savior goes slumming in the sewer. I hate white people, I hate myself too. I'll redirect myself, loathing onto you. I blame it on the whites, but I won't name the Jew. I blame it on the whites, but I won't name the Jew. A rich, white, anti-capitalist. I stand up for the native, but I don't give a shit. With his iPhone in my hand, and I love Reddit.
Okay, that's enough.
Anyway, we're setting them up for the next album since that dog shit Happy Puppies Dancing album didn't pan out.
Yeah, I know. The Happy Puppies Dancing album failed. That's because we took too much acid during that one. Mr. Noodles was freaking out and seeing everything in microscopic triplicate.
Yeah, it was a miracle he could even play the synthesizers because they were totally melting into electronic spaghetti.
I could barely sing the songs because the microphone wouldn't stop wiggling. The microphone had a foreskin. My brain was like a bag of English licorice in a microwave. But yeah, it flopped. I blame the CIA for that because they didn't give it much of a push. They didn't promote the record at all.
That album sucked and you were way too high to be anywhere near a recording studio. Your eyes were black holes and you fucked the whole thing up. It was supposed to be for Disney Plus kids shows normalizing pedophilia. But instead you made it all about that faggot dog. And it was completely unworkable. Not one teacher's union or school board would buy that shit. Not one. Not even the public libraries wanted it.
And that's why we're here. We're trying to find Mr. Noodles because he got lost again and we can't find him. We thought maybe you might know where he went. Do you know where Mr. Noodles went?
I already told you. I gave your faggot dog to some Betamax slut I was banging years ago. Last I heard, she threw him out the window of a high-rise apartment. After that, who cares?
Oh no, not Mr. Noodles.
Fuck Mr. Noodles. Just take more of that acid. You won't care when Mr. Noodles gets run over by a lawnmower.
Mr. Noodles is gone?
No, Mr. Noodles is not gone. Outrage. Outrage.
Kid, you gotta understand just how much LSD this guy has in his system. massive megadoses. Apollo astronaut level. Enough to truly believe you're on the fucking moon walking around. The fact that he could even keep his shit together at this level is why he was chosen for the project. I'll try to explain. The ears and brain don't detect popsicle music outright, only in a superficial way. However, the central nervous system subconsciously responds, and this is how we achieve deep penetration. The MK is baked directly into the frequencies for maximum social engineering, and it's completely invisible. It's like the music itself is wearing a secondary electromagnetic skin, a pharmaceutical frequency sack that's able to embed itself onto the spinal cord's electrical signals. Once there, it becomes unremovable, and a radical transformation has occurred. The general population doesn't know what's happening, and it doesn't even know that it doesn't even know. I work in biotech for the black labs designing autoimmune diseases to sell to the pharmaceutical corporations. It's big money. Popsicle music has a lot of backing from the Jew bankers and the Tavistock Institute, so it's gotta be top-notch. We've got different genres of popsicle music for numerous demographics. Joggers, teachers, pedos, Antifa, you name it, we got it covered. Check it out. Here's one we're working on right now. This one was sanctioned by Netflix and DARPA, and it will be used in numerous children's programming to help loosen up their neurons for the groomers.
Murder little children. I kid you not.
Johnny? Okay, we better hit the road and keep searching for Mr. Noodles. Here, have some popsicle scribblers. I know those are among your favorites.
And then they drove back into the night under the oppressive light of the full moon.
Okay, I feel like I'm gonna freak out, so let's listen to the radio for a while.
I'm drawn to you like sweet tooth and ice cream, and that's what I want.
Mister, I don't like this guy. Can we have more creamsicle music instead?
Oh yeah, creamsicle music. We haven't had much of that tonight. Good idea.
Adrenochrome. Free shipping. Cold lasagna. Great rinse and repeat. Ice cream. Free shipping.
Once we find Mr. Noodles, then everything will be better. Not just for us, and not just for him, but for everyone in the entire world. Finding him will be a miracle. Wait, look there. Do you see a light upon that black rock?
The truck screeched to a halt as they got out to believe their lying eyes.
It is real, and it sees me. We must climb to the lofty peak. Mr. Noodles, he could be there all alone in the dark night, freezing in the horror of the shadows. There again! Did you see a blazing star shining down from the top of the black rock? I just know it's him. Hurry, we must ascend the black rock now.
But I didn't see anything, mister.
Don't say it. Yes, you did. His house is there. It is causing light. He is calling to us. Here, have some jawbreakers. Narrow your eyes to look closer. Do you see the light shining from the black sun?
Maybe.
Yes. Now follow me and together we'll find the path.
As they traveled into the impenetrable blackness, the world they knew was left behind, concealed in shades of gray and purple. Not even the moonlight would follow them here.
Follow me. This path leads to the base of the Black Rock.
It's very dark, mister. Do you have a flashlight?
We don't need a flashlight. It would scare Mr. Noodles. He would think it was hobgoblins. No, we'll travel by the seething light of Mr. Noodles. That is enough. He can see where we're going.
By the seething light of Mr. Noodles, they continued their ascent towards the Black Rock, pausing from time to time, making sure they did not lose sight of the seething light. Soon they would realize a great circular river stood in their way, The Black Rock stood in the center of the Great Rivers. The Great River divided into four lesser rivers, only one of which they need dare to cross.
Let's walk some more. I hear the sound of a flowing river. Do you hear it too?
Yes, I do hear a river. Will we have to cross the river?
We will. But first we must rest. Then we will cross the river. But do not lose sight of the seething light atop the Black Rock. Do you still see it?
Yes, I see a light. But is this a trick of the imagination?
No, it's Mr. Noodles. Rest now, and let's contemplate finding Mr. Noodles. There's a good spot on this plateau. Here we will set up our shelter. Wait here while I gather wood for the fire.
Johnny waited in the darkness. He felt eyes watching him, but saw nothing. But for a moment, deep in the shadows, he saw points of shining bronze. And then there was nothing again. He stood there, shivering in the eternal shade, wondering if this was destiny or chance. The points of bronze were closer this time, and there were many. They surrounded him, and in that final moment, a great light vanquished them all into a dissipating, defeated hissing.
Okay, the fire's burning now. It's bearing light for Mr. Noodles.
Johnny turned round with great relief and saw the flames roaring triumphantly.
It looks like a fiery red dragon.
Yes, it does. It looks like a lord of phosphorus. Now gather close and I will tell you a ghost story.
A ghost story?
Yes, Mr. Noodle's favorite ghost story.
Mr. Noodle's favorite ghost story?
Shh, eat your blue raspberry screwball and just listen. Okay, you'll probably relate to this story. It's about a paper boy just like you. One morning, a young boy named Jimmy went out to deliver papers, and then he disappeared. No one knows where he went, and they never found out what happened to him. But those who know, know. Jimmy ended up in the back of a limousine and was delivered to a Masonic lodge in the middle of the night. They placed Jimmy inside of an animal carcass. He could see through the mouth of the carcass, and what he saw was beyond hell. Jimmy saw little boys and girls with all their bones broken hanging from hooks. Some of them had their limbs tied into knots, but they were still alive and they were screaming. Old men wearing only black robes entered the room and selected one of the children. They placed it onto a table and began masturbating into a hexagram. As this was happening, one of the men used a scalpel to cut the face of the child completely off, and then he wore it like a ghastly mask. They began stabbing the child with long pointed needles in areas that would cause the slowest bleed out. This child must suffer for as long as possible. It must remain in a state of absolute pain. Jimmy watched in terror as they pulled the tongue completely out. Each of the men took turns putting the tongue inside of their mouths. One by one, they spoke in a language no one understood. They were speaking out the sigils formed by the broken bodies of the children hanging from the hooks. Their twisted forms were an alphabet, and they were reciting a spell to summon the Chosen One. And so came he. The Chosen One came crawling out, entering the world at last, climbing out from the hole in the mouth. Slowly emerged a large fetid black fly, the Chosen One. Its body was the size of a dreidel. Its skin was an opalescent rainbow, which it displayed with pride. It was fornicating as it rose, trembling in a disgusting and vulgar rhythmic manner. This caused the thymus of the child to erupt, splattering glandular fluids all over the Chosen One. The fat black fly made clicking sounds that were soon joined by the sounds of small bones breaking. It shook its slimy wings against the lifeless lips, pressing its rear legs against the back of the throat for counterbalance. and as it exited the fleshly temple, it vomited forth a noxious yellow pus in voluminous amounts. The men gathered round with excitement and formed a six-pointed star with their defiled, crooked penises. From the star shone an ethereal glow, every color in the rainbow minus one, and it was scintillating. And as they writhed in the child's blood, tantalizing adrenaline and their own bodily filths, they each took turns wearing the child's face. And Johnny, it looked just like your face. Can you believe it? It was as if you were staring directly into a mirror of your own self. And that's Mr. Noodle's favorite ghost story.
I don't like that story, mister.
Yes, you do. You just need a SpongeBob ice cream pop to get into the spirit. We must sleep now. We have much work ahead of us.
The moon looked down upon them as both fell into a long, deep slumber. There were no sounds at all. Even the wind grew silent, as if waiting with quiet anticipation. When they woke, it was still night, even though it should have been day. They continued their ascent towards the burning light. As they climbed, Johnny could see the light growing brighter. They crept along ledges where one misstep would mean their demise, falling into chasms below. Walking through steaming, pale, sickly mud, which released the disgusting odor of disease with each step they took, they finally arrived at the bank of the river, a river that seemed made from an entire city's vomit. Their only forward path was across the river, but they had no means to reach the other side.
Here, we must bind these popsicle sticks into a raft. We also need some coins for good luck. Do you have any coins?
I only have Chuck E. Cheese tokens, mister. Will they be good enough?
Yes, they will be good enough. Now we must place the Chuck E. Cheese tokens into our mouths. Go and fetch the strongest branch you can find while I construct our vessel.
Okay, mister, but I'm scared. And the smell here is so strong, I think I'm going to pass away.
You won't pass away. Not ever. Don't be silly. This is our atonement. You only recognize the popsicle, but not the popsicle bearer. The generating popsicle of life is shining down upon our popsicle sticks, even in this place. There are rivers which hinder the popsicle of the soul, and this may be one of them, but defeat we will not accept. Not when Mr. Noodles is waiting for us atop the mount. But before we can ascend the mount, we must prove ourselves worthy.
He continued building the raft of popsicle sticks with renewed vigor. Johnny, too, felt a vital surge of regenerative power coursing through his entirety. He began walking along the rotting bank, searching for the most proper branch. As he walked, he noticed strange forms moving within the shadows. Shapes appeared as eyes within eyes. When he approached one of the eyes, its eye opened its eye. Johnny could hear the eye inside his mind speaking riddles. It asked him, did he understand he was misled by false interpretations? That he was not intended to understand, but that he should imagine he understands, although he does not understand what he does not understand. Johnny did not understand that he did not understand what he did not understand. But he thanked the eye for its arcane wisdom and asked where he might find a proper branch. The eye stared at him intensely for many minutes, but did not speak ever again. Johnny shrugged and walked some more. He found branches here and there, all of them weak, all of them flimsy. He was about to abandon his search when something was seen out the corner of his eye. A proud, worthy branch stood erected in the mud like an obelisk. It stood at an angle that mocked the heavens. He picked it up and struck the river with the branch. The river turned blood red. He knew this was the one. Satisfied he had accomplished his task, he returned to the raft. branch in hand and a trickle of blood.
Gosh, Johnny, looks like you cut your thumb. You made covenant with the strongest branch. Another good job. But don't worry. Just place that thumb against your neck and drag it from one side to the other.
Johnny did as he was instructed. The streak of blood left made it appear as if his throat was cut ear to ear.
That's better. Now you have your very own point within a circle. You deserve a Jolly Rancher. But now you'll have to wear a blindfold, so put this one on. Do you have the coin in your mouth? Okay, here we come, Mr. Noodles.
They launched the raft made of popsicle sticks with a mighty push against the rotten bank. Together they navigated the river in complete darkness. A barely perceived corona glowed from their heads. Each new push of the proper branch was like stirring a cauldron filled with hospital waste. The sound of bowels and gases releasing was constant and horrible, and the stench was blinding. Johnny leaned over the side of the popsicle raft and threw up all the fudgicles he ate earlier.
Making room for more? As below, coming back up. Don't worry, we're almost there. Mr. Noodles can probably hear us by now. His little legs will be dancing. Oh, poor Mr. Noodles. He'll be jumping and jumping so high that there will be moments where we make direct, sustained eye contact. And in that perfect moment, we will be eye to eye together at the same height in a moment of infinity.
Johnny heard what he was saying, but his words were in slow motion and sounded backwards. And just as they reached the adjacent riverbank, Johnny lost consciousness and fell into an even deeper darkness. Johnny awoke, and when he looked up to the sky, he felt a sudden vertigo, as if he were staring downward into an abyss. He noticed how cold it had become. He was freezing. His entire body was shaking.
Here, have some gobstoppers. It's starting to snow. I know you're cold, but don't worry. Soon, Mr. Noodles will be warming your heart.
They walked towards the radiant light, which now stood upon a hill set at the very peak of the black rock.
It's getting colder, mister. How much further? Oh, not much further now. Look, the light. It's much closer now than it was mere moments ago. I can see glorious rays coming from the light. Do you see it? It looks like a solitary cabin immersed in the icy fogs. He must be there. He must be.
They walked further along a winding, concentric pathway, moving closer and closer with each passing ring. Sheets of ice had formed like walls along the path, transforming it into a labyrinth of opaque glass. Johnny noticed there were disconsolate shades within the ice, but the frost congealed his eyelids with frozen tears, locking them up again. As they trudged forward in slow circles, like snakes methodically climbing a pole, the winds howled around them. At long last, breathless from their endless ascent, chilled by the darkness and the cold, concealed within a curtain of night that knew no day, they reached the cabin. A grand lodge with a solitary light shining from a lone window. They walked along the frozen gateway towards the only door. Candles that had been hanged from branches of dead trees slowly swayed in the winds, casting shadows that would skitter like mice in every direction along the walk. As they approached, they saw a gilded knocker set upon the door. It was made from brass and forged into the shape of an owl's eye.
Look closely, there's a hole in the eye. Can you look through the owl's eye and see if Mr. Noodles is in there? I can't do it because what if he isn't there? If he isn't there, I just couldn't deal with it. Not again.
poor Mr. Noodles. No, I can't bring myself to do it, but you could. I believe in you, and so does Mr. Noodles. Both of us believe that you are the one who should look into the hole, so you really should do it. Mr. Noodles would be so disappointed if you didn't. And you just might find yourself staring directly into his eyes if you do. Imagine how wonderful that would be. His eyes might be down there waiting for your eyes to see his eyes. His eyes shining in the dark, so scared and alone, shivering and cold. His eyes would be smiling before they even saw you, smiling in the darkness. Oh, wouldn't that be the most magical moment? Come on, go and look. If you don't look, you might have to live with never having known what was there. Just do it. It's so easy. What if Mr. Noodles is in there? Then we'd all have to live with your decision, and I don't know if I can do that. Can you?
Johnny stood as tall as he could. His entire being shuddered as he looked into the hole in the eye. He saw nothing. He opened his mouth to speak. But all that came out was sparks and steel as an axe slammed into the back of his head. His final vision was of Christmas lights as his eyes went dead forever. And chopped until Johnny was only the pieces of a broken jack-o'-lantern. A hissing sound resonated from the cranium, the sound of angered snakes. One final chop, and Johnny's brain spilled everywhere with clouds of steam. Scooping them up in handfuls, he shoveled them into his mouth. Swallowing, he could still taste the popsicles in Johnny's thoughts. With axe in hand, he crossed through the doorway. All of Johnny's memories dribbled down his shiny, wet throat as he mumbled,
"Mr. Noodles, is that you? Don't be afraid. Come out from the corner, no? Then I will come to you, Mr. Noodles. Let me join you in the corner. We'll both make ourselves as tiny as we can. So tiny in the corner. Tiny in the corner. What fun. Oh, there you are. Where'd you go? There you are. Oh, Mr. Noodles, it's so good to see you. We're so tiny. We're so tiny."